This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Progress.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. Maseches Ksubais. Daf Samach Tes Omer Beis. 69b. We're almost finished. Perek Metzias Hoisha. We're up to the two dots. We just mentioned that Rav Huna was not happy that Rav Hanan called him Huna. And he said, you know, you might have covered now, but an Avel also sits at the head of the table. So now the Gemara is digressing to discuss, well, how do you know an Avel sits at the head of the table? Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avoh, Minayin la'Avel Shemes of Barash. Rabbi Avoh said, how do we know an Avel sits at the head of the table? Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, in Eiv, Evchar Darkam, I will choose their way. The Eishav Roish, I will sit at the head. The Eshkan, I will dwell Kemelech Begadud, like a king in with his troops. Kaasher Avelim Yenachem, like Avelim console. So the Gemara asks, well, this is talking about Avelim consoling others. So that doesn't seem to be appropriate. If you're saying that when an Avel is consoled, he sits at the head of a table, but here it's talking about the Avel offering consolation. Says Gemara, Yenucham, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yenucham Ksev. Rashi says an unbelievable thing. That whenever a letter is vocalized with a patach, there's always an aleph or a hey near it. And since there is no aleph, therefore, even though it says Yenachem, it's read Yenucham. And it's going on the one being consoled. The fact that there's no letter indicating that it's a patach means that there's a correct way of reading it, Yenucham, being consoled. Rashi says, "Ein lecha loymar patach b'shum ois elam kein alfa hei smuchen lai." You don't vocalize something with a patach unless there's an aleph or a hey near it. And the patach is in place of the letter, like as if it said Yenucham. Therefore, it's vocalized not Yenachem, but Yenucham. Even though we do say Yenachem, but the drasha is as if it says Yenucham, because there's no aleph or hey there. Fine. Marzutra Amar Meihach. Marzutra says the source is from the following pasuk, a pasuk in Amos, Visar Marzeach. Literally, it will be removed, marzeach, which we darshan, sruchim mar. The pasuk says like this, v'sar marzeach sruchim. It will be removed, marzeach, that is putrid. But we read it to mean mar v'zach, the master. Excuse me, Mar, the one who is bitter, Vizach, and removed, referring to an Avel, Nasa Sar, becomes a minister, Lesruchim. So this is for great people. In other words, this indicates that the Avel sits at the head. So Mar, someone who is embittered, Vizach, and removed, meaning from regular functioning, he becomes a prince for great people. Okay, so this was all digression to discuss how do we know that an Avel sits at the head of a table. But now the Gemara says, Amarava, halacha lemaisa, do you collect a dowry from metaltalin or from karka? What about mezoinos? Amarava hilchasami mi mekarkoi v'lemi metaltali. The halacha is you collect from land and not from movables. Bein lemezoini, whether to support a daughter. Bein leksuba, whether to collect iksuba. Bein leparnasa, or whether for a dowry. All of these things you collect from karka and not metaltan. Final Mishnah in the Perek. Hamashlish ma'is labitai. One who gives money on behalf of his daughter to a third party. He gives money to a shlish for his daughter to buy a field or to give her a dowry when she gets married. Vihi oimeres. I'm sorry?
Daddy.
Vihi oimeres. And she says, Ne'amon bali alai. Why should this guy buy a field for me? I trust my husband. Rashi says that it's going on after Nisuin. It's not Pasha it's talking about after Nisuin. And she says, I trust my husband. He's not going to keep the field for himself. He'll buy me a nice field. So basically, you have a father. In his dying words, he gave over money to a third party. He said, I want you to do me a favor, buy a field for my daughter for her dowry. And then she gets married. And she says, what are you buying me a field? Give the money to my husband. He'll take care of it. Yasa hashlish mashahushas biyadai. The shlish should ignore her. Who cares what she says? He should do what he was entrusted to do. Divri Rameir. This is the opinion of Rameir. Rameir shita is always mitzvah l'kayim divri hames. Okay? So Rameir always says, listen to the deceased. Don't listen to the desires of the girl. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, well, wait a second. What if there was a field that the father decided that he was going to designate to his daughter for a dowry, and he gave it to a shlish? So you know what she would be able to do? Right now, she could sell it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'chi ein ela sada. Let's say it would be an actual field. It wouldn't be money. It would be a field. V'yroi tzolamaychon, she wanted to sell it. Harehi mechura me'achshav. So isn't it like it's already sold? Meaning, why would you buy the field, right? You have money. And Rameir says, well, listen to the father. The father wants the shlish to buy the field. But if it was a field, she could sell it right now. So let her nip the whole process in the bud and say, don't buy the field, give me the money. Or give it to my husband. Because if it was already a field, she could have sold it. So now what? You're going to ignore her? And you're going to say, well, the father said you have to buy a field. But if the field was here already, she could sell it. So certainly she should be able to say, look, I'm going to do what I want. Give it to the husband. And now the Mishnah ends off. And the Gemara is going to discuss, you know, what exactly this is going on. B'amed dvar ma'amurim b'gedoyla. What is this speaking about? A gedoyla. Avo b'ktana. Ein masa ketana klum. But by a ketana, the acts of a ketana are nothing. So who's talking here? Rav Meir says that you never listen to her. Rav Yossi says you do. Who's saying the words b'amed v'amamrum b'gedoyla? Okay, so let's see. Tan Rabbanan. Hamash l'shmois l'chosnai. One who gave to a third party money for his son-in-law. Likach mehen sada l'bitai. To buy a field for his daughter. So what exactly does it mean that he put it away for his son-in-law? It means he wants his son-in-law to benefit from it, either nechsei milug or nechsei tzayim barzel. So it's really for his daughter, but it's to buy a field for the daughter that the son-in-law could also benefit from. Okay.
It's the same case as the Mishnah, just differently worded.
Right, and correct. But the different wording indicates a different kavana. In the Mishnah, it's talking about, let's say, buying the field. Rashi says, let's say, either for his daughter or for a dowry. This is, let's say, that for the son-in-law also to benefit from. She would own it, and it would be for him to benefit from. Okay, so there's an emphasis on that the son-in-law should be able to get some use out of it. Even though the dowry also is something that it makes her desirable, but it's not necessarily for his benefit. She's just desirable because she's coming in with assets. but not lav davka for him to benefit from. So here the wording indicates that he would get some kind of payrois from it, or maybe even get it if the marriage would terminate. Okay, so Tanabat Mashas Mosul Chasun Likach Man Sada Labitai. Vihi Oymer, she says, Yinasnu Labali, give it to my husband. Ah, Min Hanesuin, if they had Nesuin her Shus Biyada, she has the Rishus to do so. Min Ha'erusin, Yasa Hashlish, Mashahushus Biyadai, Divira Meir. But from Erusin, the Shlish should do what he's entrusted to do. So it's very interesting because in the Mishnah, Rameir says the Shlish should do what he's entrusted to do, and Rashi's saying it's going on after Nesuin, which is not consistent with what the Gemara says, because the Gemara is saying that after Nesuin, she's allowed to. She's Harishus Biyada, only Mina Erisin, we say Yasash Tashmasha Hushus Biyadai. Ah, that's Toysus. Toysus, the third Toysus, Hamashus Mois Labitai, Toysus quotes Rashi, that she says, that the husband is believed after Nesuin. I mean, meaning she says, I trust my husband. It's talking about after Nesuin. So Toysus says that Rashi was not a medakdik in the Gemara. The Gemara says that after Nesuin, she's believed, right? The Gemara says that after Nesuin, she's believed, right? So, fine. So again, the Shita Rameir in the Gemara is if the girl says, I trust my husband, after Nesuin, she has Rishus to do so. After Erisin, the Shlish should just do what the father entrusted him to do. Rav Yossi Oimer, Rav Yossi says, Hagedoyla. So Rameir is Mechalik between Erisin and Nesuin. Erisin, she is not Naman, she doesn't have koyach. Nesuin, she has koyach. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Hagedoyla, if she's an adult, Bein Min Hanesuin, Bein Min Erusin, Rishus Biyada, then we believe her, we follow her. Ketano, minor, Bein Min Hanesuin, Bein Min Erusin, Yasa Hashlish, Mashu, Rishus Biyada. So basically, Rabbi Meir is mechalik between Erusin and Nesuin, and Rabbi Yossi is mechalik between Gedoyla and Ketana. Which means, a Gedoyla who had Nesuin, everyone agrees she's believed. A ketana mina erison, everyone agrees the shlish should do what he was appointed to do. What would the nafka mina be between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi? There are two possible cases. Either they could be arguing about erison as a gedoyla, or nesuin as a ketana. Says Gemara, my benayu. What's the difference between them? Ilema katana min ha'erusin ika benayu. If you're going to say they argue about a katana from Nesuin, that Rameir holds, well, if she has Nesuin, then we will follow her, harishus biyada, because it's all dependent on Nesuin. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. Even min ha'nesuin, afil min ha'nesuin nami, only gedoyla, not a katana. So maybe Rameir, who follows strictly Nesuin, would say, we believe, we follow her directive. And Rabbi Yossi would say, no, the barometer is Gedoyla or Ketana, we would not follow her directive. So then, how would you read the Seifa? Doesn't the Seifa say, Ema Seifa, Avo B'Ketana, Ein Masa Ketana Klum? The Seifa, the acts of a Ketana is nothing. Haman Ketanila, who's saying that? That would have to be consistent with Rabbi Yossi. Elaim Rabbi Yossi, if you can say it's Rabbi Yossi, who says the act of a katana is nothing, even min ha'nesuin. But we already know, he already said that. Hamei Reisha Shamitla. We know that from the Reisha, that ein masa katana klum. Dam Rabbi Yossi v'chi eina ela sada. Let's say, what's Rabbi Yossi's argument? It's a field. If she wanted to sell it, would be sold. So that's an argument that only applies to a gedola, not to a ketana. Gedola de bas vini in, ketana de las bas vini hi loy. Rav Yossi's argument of why we listen to the woman is because she's capable of selling it. But a ketana is not capable of selling it. So Rav Yossi already expressed his opinion that we would not follow the ketana. So who is saying at the end of the Mishnah that ein masa ketana klum? El Rameirhi. It must be the end of the Mishnah's Rameir. And that means Rameir must be saying that not only is an Arusa Gedoyla not believed, but even an Asua Katana is not believed. Chesur and Mechsura, V'hachi Katani, Yasa HaShlish, Mashal HaShlish B'yadai. Rameir says, we follow the Shlish. We follow... That's only from Erison. And that means Reb Meir must be agreeing with Reb Yossi that the act of a ketana is nothing, even min hanesuin. Reb Yossi already said it in terms of expressing his opinion with the Svara that it should not be any different than if the field was here. And since she could sell it, so even if it's not bought yet, she should be able to say, I trust my husband. Meaning, everyone agrees that there's no nafgamina by Nesua Ketana. We're not going to accept what she says because she's a Ketana. Meaning, the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi cannot be by a ketana. By a ketana, everyone has to agree. Ein masa ketana klum. Rav Yossi already said it earlier in the Mishnah by expressing that the svara is that we believe her because she's able to, we follow her because she's able to sell it. But a ketana, she's not able to sell. So the end of the Mishnah, that ein masa ketana klum, has to be Rav Meir. That means everybody agrees that a ketana's actions are nothing. So the nafgamina can't be by Nesua Ketana, because everyone agrees Masa Ketana is nothing. So the nafgamina has to be by an Arusa Gedoyla, where a mayor would be saying, well, look, it's all dependent on... Rameir would be saying, everything is dependent on Nesuin, so she's an Arusa, we don't follow her. We don't follow her. We follow the Shlish. And Rav Yossi would be saying, no, it all depends on the Gadlos. She's a Gadol, she's a Gedoyla, so we will listen to her. Says the Gemara, Ela Gedoyla min Erisin Yikabanayu. The Nafkamina between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi would have to be a Gedoyla min Erisin, where Rav Meir would be saying that the Shlish should do what he was appointed to do because it's dependent on Nesuin. And Rabbi Yossi would be saying it's dependent on Gadlos. Gedoyla in Ketanaloi. So who do we paskin like? Itmar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halach Rabbi Yossi. Halach is like Rabbi Yossi, that a Gedoyla min ha'erisin, we would follow her directive. Rav Amrav Nachan Halach Rabbi Meir. The mitzvah l'kayim devri hames. Okay, now meet a very interesting personality in Shas. This personality we've met before, a long time ago. We met him in Masechta Tainis and Daf Chaf Aleph. Reb Reuven Margolius, in the Hakdama to his classic Sefer, Margolius Hayam, a Masechta Sanhedrin, has a exposition on this story of Ilfan Rabbi Yochanan. And it's very amazing because it's sort of an autobiographical explanation. The story goes like this. It's a story of Masechta Tainis, where Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, they both were poor, they both left the yeshiva, they both had to make a living, and... basically, a heavenly voice was heard that one of them would be the king, meaning become Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Yochanan heard it, Ilfa didn't hear it. Rabbi Yochanan went back to the yeshiva, he became a Rosh Yeshiva. They would tell Ilfa, if you would have gone back, you would have been the Rosh Yeshiva, because you are greater than Rabbi Yochanan. And Ilfa always tried to prove that he didn't lose a beat, even though he went out to work. He would go up to the top of a mast of a ship, and he said, if anyone could stump me, I'll jump off and I'll kill myself. Because he was confident no one would stump him. And Rav Reuven Margolius has a whole exposition that Ilfa didn't want the responsibility of being a Rosh Yeshiva. He was happy helping his wife in the house. I've seen that this was sort of a personal account of Rav Reuven Margolius about himself, who never took any official position. He was a librarian in the Rambam library, and he was a very interesting personality, one of the greatest Bekiyim in, you know, the last era of Jewish history, and had the world's largest collection of Gedolim pictures. But he was Mamish, all-time great guy, and he wrote many, many unbelievable Sfarim. Margolius Hayam, HaMikra VaHamaseira, Footnotes on Shalos HaTshuvos Min HaShamayim, if I'm not mistaken, Footnotes on the Sefer Chassidim. He wrote, put together, Nitzutzei Zohar. Many, many Sfarim that I have from him. Little Blue Mosada Rav Kook Sfarim. Anyway, here it goes. Ilfa tala nafshi b'iskaria d'machusa. Ilfa suspended himself on the mast of a ship. What's d'machusa? Sail, Rashi says. V-line. Amar, he said, Akati da'asi, Amar, he said, Ika da'asi da'amar li milsa. If anybody could come and tell me something. The Bei Reb Chiya of Rabbi Ishiya, from the Academy of Chiya of Rabbi Ishiya, V'loi pashidna le masnisen, and I can't find a source in a Braisa. Nafil nimei askari, I'll throw myself off the sail, v'tavana, and I'll drown myself. Rashi says, what he meant to say is, even though I went to work, I didn't forget my learning at all. I could correct all the braisos that Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya arranged and find the source. Meaning, Chazal say, in general, any braisa that was not learned by Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya, don't bring into the Beis Medrash. So Ilfa was saying, anybody who could tell me something Rav Chiya Bar Ishiya said, and I won't substantiate it from a Tanaitic source, if you could stump me on that, I will jump off the mast. I would jump off the sail. Asa Husab, an old man, came to him. Tanole, he said, Ha'imer tnu shekel levni b'shabbos. A father, in his dying words, said, give a shekel to my son for Shabbos. A shekel is chatzi sela. V'ruyin liten lahem sela. And really, based on economics, they should be given a sela, like double that. Noisim lahem sela. So we give the kids a sela. We say the father would have wanted the kids to have what they needed. He said that amount because, you know, the economics a few weeks earlier were different, but he wants the kids to have what they need, so we give the kids more. V'mamar, but what if he said, al titnu lahem ela shekel? Don't give them only a shekel. So he's being very explicit. Einoisim lehem el shekel. We just give them a shekel. V'im amar, and if he says, imesu, if they die, yirshu acherim tachteihem, I want other people to inherit them, and it shouldn't stay in the family. So that means he obviously wants there to be Yerusha left over. Then Bein Sha'amar Tinu, Bein Sha'amar Al Titnu, whether he said just give them a shekel, or whether he said only give them just a shekel and nothing more, Einoisim Lehem Ela Shekel. Irrespective of how he said it, we only give them a shekel. Because he clearly wants there to be left over. So this was the teaching of... This is a teaching, apparently, of Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya. And the old man's telling him, "Nu, find me a source for this." Samarle, he said, nah, nice try. Hamani, who is this? Rameir, he. It's Rameir, the Amar Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. It's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of someone who's dying, and that's why we try to fulfill his words at all cost. Okay, Rabbi Yisai? That's what we have tonight. Daf Samach Tesam Beis. So next week, we have a zchus to finish Metziyas Ha'isha and begin one of the most lamdasha prakim b'chol ha'Torah kula, Hamadir. It's mamish gishmak. A good chunk of Shev Shmaitza is written on Perek Hamadir. Good?
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Shkayach.
Thank you. Good night.
Kotev, good night. Good night.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.